fact, I kind of hope that doesn't ever happen, because if it does, it'll mean you won't even have to exercise your conscience and your intelligence to find the truth. There's this famous statement by Lessing, I think, where he said that if God appeared to him and said, okay, in one hand I've got the truth, and in the other I got the search for truth, you can have whichever you want, which hand? And Lessing said, I would immediately say, I'll take the search for truth. The truth is only for thee, O Lord. Now, how could a person say that? Well, because take a look at all the jerks that think they have the truth. They have no questions about anything, right? They're dictators and fanatics and bigots are absolutely sure they have the truth. Right? They don't wait around before lighting the fire with the heretic, but they don't say, you know, suppose I'm wrong. No, they got the absolute truth. And I think Lessing had a point. Isn't it better for us to seek after the truth and weigh it up for ourselves and to just accept it because some guy with a halo says, here it is, swallow it or go to hell? I mean, that whole thing is so childish. Surely you have to, like the letter of the Hebrews says, you have to build up your truth-seeking muscles. You can't just accept it. And may I have the envelope, please? Quite a bit. I've taught them for Religions of the World course for years and years now, and studied loads more than I needed to for that. I've tried to read the major scriptures of other religions. I read the Quran about four times in different translations and hope to read it more. I always have an eye open for parallels with Jesus, the New Testament, and all that, which remains my first interest. But one of the things I do in the book is to show that they're illuminating parallels from Buddhism, from the Baha'i faith, from early Islam, that show the kind of things that happen as religions grow that probably happened with Christianity too. And I also think that all of those paths are, I mean, it's hard to find a religion that zillions of people have lived and died for a long time that has nothing to commend it. They've all got many, many great riches in them and well worth study. I'm a fan of all of them.
We're going to take a brief look. Brief because I'm more ignorant about that. We're going to take a brief look at this class in a couple of weeks on Islam. And there was a big issue a couple of years ago where Maxine Rodinson's biography of Muhammad, a Bob Christ figure in France, Maxine Rodinson, a scholar of Islam, you know, but not Islamic, where his book was banned at the University of Cairo. Banned throughout Egypt because it subjects the life of the prophet to a historical investigation. Nothing more than that. Could you just say, because we are going to be talking about that, is there a similar school in the, you know about, in terms of investigating the historical roots of Islam?
Yeah, and the controversial character of it is such that one of the leaders of this movement, Günter Lühling, not a Muslim, has been told he dare not travel in Middle Eastern countries because if anybody knows who he is, he's dead meat. Here again, it's very ironic that early on in Islamic history, the scribes and jurists realized that the huge amount of stories about what Muhammad had said and did had to be largely bogus. This wasn't people from outside. This was like the clerics. They said, wait a minute, he couldn't have said this. It's obvious people have just been fathering their favorite ideas on the prophet, and so they culled through them and got rid of most of it. But now the same thing's begun to happen again.
I think there was some account that I saw that some of the earlier, some of the very early scholars of Islam, you know, within a few, within a century or so of the prophet's death, right? Actually had millions of...
That may well be. Look at what survives.
The prophet already within 100 years and had to cut them down to 4,000 or 5,000 or 6,000.
And a lot of the ones that are left have been, well, I don't want to say a lot, but there's some that have been left, miracle stories and the like, that are just ripped off of Christian tradition. And it's no surprise, because a lot of Christians became Muslims and they brought what they liked with them, just like early Christianity. A lot of these ideas came from other religions people espouse. Well, there are two major approaches to this I know that are radically critical. One is Lilling's approach. He takes a linguistic approach to the Quran and says that it's been read the wrong way through a stilted artificial grammar that the theologians imposed on it, and that you can, if you read it the right way, which he does very painstakingly, a book of his coming out in English from Prometheus soon, and I read the draft of it, he says it becomes apparent that as much as a third of the Quran was pre-Islamic Christian hymnody. It was a Christian hymn book, and that the various things have been added. The consonantal text in Arabic has been repointed. Words have been added to the point where it's now almost incoherent in some places. And to make it coherent, you find it says something radically different. Well, merely to say that this stuff wasn't received by the prophet by dictation from the angel Gabriel is enough to have the old fatwa slapped on you. But there's another group of scholars led by Michael Kraft and Patricia Crone, I believe it is. They wrote a book called Hagarism. And Kraft has one of these past masters paperbacks from Oxford University Press on the Prophet Muhammad. And they claim that Islam began as Hagarism, reference both to the Hagar, the wife of Abraham and father of mother of Ishmael, the scion of the Arab tribes, and because of the Hegira, and that originally meant a trip by Arabs who consider themselves like Samaritans, a kind of Judaism, to the promised land to liberate it from the Byzantine Empire. And they were led by a messiah named Umar, who history recalls incorrectly as, I think, the second caliph. And that he was called Umar al-Farouk, the Redeemer. And that Muhammad was a kind of proclaimer of this guy as the messiah. And that they base this on non-Islamic contemporary sources. And if these guys are right, or Lilling is right, or both of them, you have a drastic disconnection between the official account and what happened, exactly like in the case of the Jesus thing. This is only within the last couple of decades. But at least, you know, with the Jesus thing, you're not in danger of getting filled full of lead.
By,
Bob, the time is up.
Well, that meant he had to say there were no more POWs. Maybe